the overall published is what's called a chair's draft. That does not mean that I sat down and drafted it. It just means that I sent it out. And eventually, of course, when we finally get to the end of this, there'll be a final paper with recommendations for policy. So the document that's out there right now, the interim paper, isn't agreed, isn't finalised. It's just a sort of first, second draft of ideas and thoughts. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, because there are a couple of things in that that are really, really important. So we've made some basic assumptions, and if anyone has a problem with anything that I say, doesn't understand it, or doesn't agree with it, please say so. So we've made some basic assumptions in the policy development process working group. We've assumed that... what's Bart done here? Okay. The structure of the IDNC working group proposals is followed. Fine. I think we'll ignore that slide and move on. Here we are. Basic assumptions. IDNC CTLDs are CCTLDs and should be treated in the same manner unless the nature of being an IDN does not allow for it. So the reason for that is... Hi, Bart. The reason for that is very simple. I can think of one thing that makes them different, which is that you have to agree to abide by the IDNA protocols, which you obviously don't have to do for an ASCII CCTLD. But other than specific IDN stuff, they are the basic assumption is that they are the same. Okay. So the delegation, redelegation, and retirement policies for ASCII CCTLDs apply to IDN CCTLDs. So we're not interested in having different set of rules for an IDN CCTLD than for an ASCII CCTLD. The proposals are limited to selection mechanisms for IDN CCTLDs, and this is really, really, really crucial. At the moment, the proposals are limited to non-Latin scripts. Now, you will remember in the fast track that we said this is for non-Latin scripts only. We are discussing in the working group whether extended ASCII should be classed as an IDN. This is my personal view. My personal view is no. Extended ASCII is ASCII. So if you want to have a CCTLD in extended ASCII, you need to amend the rules, because right now you get one ASCII CCTLD. So if you think about what an IDN CCTLD is, so I'm not saying you can't do that, but in this process it's non-Latin. We'll get back to it in a second. So there's some overarching principles, association of the IDN CCTLD with a territory, so it all sheets back to the ISO list. If you're not on the ISO list, you can't have one. They're all CCTLDs, so there's no difference in the sense of them being CCTLDs. And obviously there's an overarching principle to preserve the security, stability and interoperability of the DNS. Now, the purpose of the introduction of IDN CCTLDs is to provide accessibility for those for whom ASCII is inaccessible. That was always the original understanding, that there were large groups of people in the world for whom ASCII was inaccessible because it wasn't written in a script that they could understand. And that was the purpose. So there was a difference between me not being able to speak German but still being able to read the letters. Whereas not only do I not speak Arabic, I can't read the script. So that was the original purpose. And that's why, if you sheet back to that, we need to have this discussion about whether you extend it beyond Latin scripts. Rolf.
have to do this for the... Chris, I think now you have an overarching principle that says it's non-Latin, and you have another one that says it's non-ASCII. So you're confusing me a bit.
Yes, you're right. When you're in this, we tend to use them interchangeably. What I mean is, RDN CCTLDs go back to ASCII, because what happens is behind the Arabic is XN dash dash, and that's ASCII. So we really shouldn't use ASCII because it gets confusing. It's the Latin script. But the problem with that is that then when you come to talk about extended ASCII, which you need to talk about in order to have this debate, you have to go back to ASCII. But I'll try and do my best. I do understand. So let me see if I can chunk this down. If France uses extended ASCII characters, right? Or what I call ASCII with accents. And in fact, the Netherlands has one, I think, right? Several? Okay, so let's use the Netherlands as an example. So you've got two or three or four extended ASCII characters. Okay. So if we say that extended ASCII means it's an IDN, so therefore you can have an IDN CCTLD, then do we then say, but only if you use at least one of the extended characters in the name that you want? Because if you don't use one of the extended characters, then it's effectively ASCII. So our current thinking is that effectively, in order to allow you to do that, we'd actually need to amend the ASCII rules, the existing CCTLD rules, rather than creating a new set of rules for IDNs. And that's not what this is about, and the Charter for the Policy Development Process is not about doing that. So the danger here, if we were to say IDNs include Latin scripts, is that it would simply be a backdoor way of you getting .Netherlands. And we, if you remember from our discussion in the GAC yesterday, we're still saying, well, it shouldn't be possible, they should, and so on. So we need to do a lot more work on this, but where we are right now is that non-Latin scripts only for IDN CCTLDs. This is all the normal stuff. The string should be non-contentious within the territory. It's the criteria that determine the number of IDN CCTLDs. So we're not saying, you know, you can have 6 or 12. The criteria decides how many, and it's an ongoing process. Oops. My guess is that by the time we get to Brussels, and I don't know if you'll agree with this, Bart, but my guess is by the time we get to Brussels, we'll actually be able to have a full discussion, because the interim paper will hopefully have got to a point where there is consensus in the working group on the overarching principles and so on. And then the next stage from there will be to move on to the final document. Are we headed in about that direction, do you think, for Brussels? That sound right? Okay, does anyone want to ask any questions or talk about this? We're in grave danger of running early here if we're not careful. Okay, so everyone sort of understands, and I'm not asking agreement because we're way too early for that, but everyone's comfortable with what I've said. Excellent, all right. You turn the microphone. You're you'll have noticed that I didn't mention this Latin stuff in the meeting with the GAC yesterday, because I suspect that it might have been a much longer discussion in depth, and they're involved in this working group anyway. But if you, those of you who were there, if you go back to the discussion we had about their interim principles, their interim principles basically suggest that the GAC's view would be that any country can have any IDN CCTLD in any script if it wants it. And we are going to need to have this debate at some point about whether we want to maintain the uniqueness of the CCTLD being the representation of the country. So that uniqueness may cross languages and scripts, or whether we actually want to blow the whole thing out and just say, well, if it's run by a CCTLD manager and endorsed by the government, it's a CCTLD, and if there's 7 million of them, there's 7 million of them. Bart's got the number, but it's 7,000 living languages. So there are 7,000 living languages. If every CCTLD had a CCTLD in each one of those 7,000 living languages, there would be 1.5 million CCTLDs. And I think there might be some root zone scaling issues with that. And also, we'd have a lot more members, which would be fantastic. So we do have to have this debate, because, you know, and again, now speaking entirely personally, I think that I'm in favour of fewer rather than more. The purpose of the IDN CCTLDs was to solve a very, very specific and incredibly important problem, which was that the people in China could not access properly the internet because they didn't have ASCII keyboards, or they didn't understand .cn or whatever. And that was always the reason for doing this. And somehow I think along the way, certain governments and certain individuals have got to a point where they think, okay, so now this means that I can have .netherlands or what have you. Anyway, we'll see. Okay, Gabby, are we able to move on to the next session? So who do we... We're going to get a report on the fast track. So experiences learned from the fast track. So we have Marina. Marina, could you come up? Youngham, are you here? We don't have Youngham. Okay. And we don't have Manal yet either. But we're 5 minutes early, so... Marina, would you mind starting yours and then we'll get the others to... Yes? Okay, come and sit down.
Dear colleagues, my name is Marina Nikirova. I'm from .ru, and I sell a few words about .ru and .rf to update the information. And this, oh, yep. Okay, once again, excuse me. My name is Marina Nikirova. I'm from .ru, and I'll say a few words about .ru and .rf to update the information. Last year, the .ru national domain has shown a great result. The number of the registered, the number of the registered domain names, thank you. The number of the registered domain names was over 37% compared with 2008 and made up 2.5 million. Of course, the economical crisis has told on our performance, and our growth was slower than in previous periods, as you can see on the picture. But nevertheless, I can say that .ru domain outruns any other TLDs in the world by the domain registration growth. Yes. And one of the reasons of this results was expansion of internet penetration in Russia, especially expansion to Russian regions. In the capital cities, such as Moscow and St. Petersburg, internet penetration rate is over 70%, but in regions only 17%. It's a difference. And so the many of Russian telecom companies focused on the regions and expand their efforts. So we notice that the new categories of the users are appear. It's young people, it's seniors and households. In fact, all these categories of the users are not fluent in English, and so we expect they may form a base, a critical audience for the our future Cyrillic.rf. About .rf. We divide the launch of the .rf on the stages. It was made to make sure all the categories of the users, all categories such as internet societies, government agencies, trademark owners, political parties, and so on, to make them sure that their rights is completely protected. And it's hard to say now how many domain names will be registered on each phase of the project. At the moment, we have about 9,000 registered domain names in the .rf. And we expect they make 10,000 until late March, then 15,000 until late May, 20,000 during the summer, and another 2,000 in the end of the August. And also, we plan to start the open registration of .rf at the 1st of September. That's all I'd like to say at the moment. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.
So now we're, and this is slightly challenged because we have no other Okay, so we're going to have the second fast track presentation because Manal has sprinted to the room. Your slides are up on this computer and I will move them when you tell me to. Okay? We'll just wait for them to come into the remote participation room. Yep. Almost. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And okay. I really apologize for being late. I'm sorry. And thank you for the opportunity to share with you Egypt's experience on our IDNCCTLD delegation. First. As you may all know, it's two phases. It's the string evaluation phase and the IANA delegation phase. We've been through the string evaluation phase, which currently passed very smoothly. And this makes me stress the importance of the cross-constituency early coordination and cooperation between the different advisory committees and the different supporting organizations, which really led to very clear steps, smooth implementation, reported progress, and predictable output. We are now through the IANA delegation phase. It's not yet over. So there is no much to tell, but I think we should have had IANA on board with us during the fast track process itself, just for the sake to have things clear and avoid any surprises on both ends, from the IANA side or from the applicant side. Things as simple as filling the template was a bit confusing for us. The domain name was not really clear whether this should be the XN dash dash thing, the Arabic string itself, or the English translation. So I think the interface should have been part of the process. As for the national preparations within the country, we are now working on the policies, the marketing, the awareness. So regarding the policies, I really think we should think out of the box when we talk about the policies. It's a very different language, a very different culture, a very different market, and probably very, very different problems. It won't help if we just inherit or copy whatever is being implemented, even in our own ASCII top-level domain. The Arabic, for example, is right to left. It's written right to left, and it's understood right to left. So, for example, if we say Cisco company, in Arabic it's company Cisco. So if we have a second level domain company or CO, I mean, it might not be as easy as it is in English. And over and above, we don't support abbreviations in Arabic. We don't. It's not common. So again, the domain name tree should look different, and we have to think and not just inherit what's already there. we have it's very important to try to maintain and build on the end user experience, the current user, and the browsers has to be consistent, the behavior, the way they use the domain names should be consistent. So we have to think really how the user would think in order to make sure we're satisfying the end user's need. We have also to make sure everybody is aware about the domain name. Till very recent, some of the people we met thought that we are going to have the domain .masr as .masr. So we had to explain this is going to be in Arabic, fully qualified in Arabic, and the domain names is going to be Arabic, all the labels. So we have to make sure this awareness reaches the end user and how this would be a value added to the end user, the registrant itself, and what's allowed to be registered, what's not, what are the technical limitations, and what's supported and what's not. For example, the diacritics will not be supported, so this has to be conveyed to the registrant with its implications, positive or negative. Also, the registrars and the consistency in applying the rules on all the registrations. So all this is an awareness and know-how that we are currently going through. The marketing and the branding is also something we are working on right now. We're trying to make sure that we come up with the right messages addressed to the right target groups at the right time. For example, if we're going to go through phases, then we have to come up with the right campaign at the right time, be it trademark owners or opening up for individuals. We have to know who exactly we are addressing, and we have to bear in mind that a good portion of our market might not be even online users right now, because we're trying to outreach to the community that was suffering from language barrier. And that might not be online right now. Finally, as we always say, the IDNs is not the goal by itself, and we have to continue and go beyond this. We have to make sure we have enough content in our local language, and that we have the right tools, applications, and online services, because it has to be a value added. We cannot say to the users using Arabic that you can browse but not search, for example. So we have to make sure that all the things that would help the user in using the Arabic language is there. Next, please. The straightforward benefits of the Arabic domain names would be identity and culture protection, of course, easier guessing, learning, recalling of domain names, and definitely accuracy in trademark protections, because it's now going to be one-to-one thing. It's not going to be liable to more than one spelling, which has been the case before and which we have been suffering from. This also implies some opportunities. So if we go to the next slide, we expect growth in the number of users and hopefully breaking through new user segments. We are currently talking about around 17 million internet users in Egypt, while we have 55 million subscribers in mobile. And I think this discrepancy is mainly because the mobile has an Arabic interface and supports Arabic and was able to break through very, very, very different segments of the country and of the market. So we hope that we have the same breakthrough with the Arabic language being supported on the internet. And again, the population itself is 80 million, so the potential is there. And definitely the breaking through new user segments and growth in numbers would, from a governmental perspective, improve the figures, statistics, and breakthrough, and at the same time is an extension to the market for the private sector itself. We also see an opportunity in increasing online communication services and activities, and specifically the e-government services, which was a little bit hard to promote with the URLs being in a foreign language. We also hope that this would increase the local online content and be a good opportunity for the local content industry to boom. And definitely we hope that we see more ISPs of our regions have the know-how and compete within the registrar businesses. We currently have only two from our region. So I think with this, this ends my presentation. I really hope it sheds some light on where we stand today and maybe of help to the process itself and to others who may be going through the process. Thank you.
Manal, thank you. I have a question for Manal, but does anybody else? We need some more volume on this. This is just way too low. Hello? Is that any better? Okay. So if anyone has a question, have a think about it while I ask mine. But now, we've kind of talked about this before, so it would be right to say that the fast-track process, the actual getting the string evaluated, etc., you think that was fine. I mean, it seemed to go quite smoothly, and you understood everything, and it was... But then when it got to the next bit, which is the IANA process, things were unclear. Is that... That's it, basically what you're saying, isn't it? Yeah?
Yes. We had a very positive experience with the string evaluation phase. It went so smooth. And we had... We've been reported on each and every step that we're passing, and more or less it was within the time frame that's expected. And then with the very first email that we received that we passed the string evaluation and now it's the IANA delegation and we had the URL, I checked the URL and I was not sure what exactly is...
Yeah.
And even as simple as filling the template, I mean.
Yes, because the IANA template hasn't changed, so to allow for the fact that when it, for example, it says what string are you applying to delegate, of course up until now it's only ever been the ASCII string. So so you were unclear, weren't you, about whether you were supposed to put in the Arabic string or the XN dash dash string. Okay, and even whether the form itself would accept Arabic characters. I mean, we don't know that. Okay, all right. Gabby. Tina Dam has a question. Okay. Hi, Tina.
Hi. So it really wasn't a question. I just wanted to mention in relation to Manal's and your conversation on the fact that a string delegation didn't go as, or isn't going as smoothly as the string evaluation was going. And it's one of the things that we had listed in the staff experience of the process, is that we needed to make that transition more clear. So I just wanted to mention that from the staff side, we've heard that from others as well, and it's something that we're trying to see what we can do better for future participants in the fast track process. And it was one of the things that I had also mentioned for the CCNSO PDP on IDMs moving forward, that, you know, we kind of need to try to make that transition a little bit better than it is currently.
Thank you, Tina. I think it's also a price you pay for being one of the first.
Yeah, that's, you know, so it's nice to be first, but it also means that you will be the one who runs into whatever problems exist. And I'm just glad to hear that at least the string evaluation was going well.
Thanks, Tina. Manal?
Yes, Tina, I'm very happy you're with us remotely, and I grasp this opportunity to really thank you for all the efforts that you've put to the IDN process, and it's with your efforts that everything went smooth, and really thank you for this phase, I mean.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and of course, it's also my job, but I hope I get to see you sometime soon, as, along with everyone else, you know, hopefully, if not before, then at least at the Brussels meeting. I wish I was in Nairobi, but not able to travel yet, but soon, hopefully, so that's great.
Thanks, Tina. Anyone, any questions for Manal? Hero. Gabby, could we grab a microphone for Hero, please?
All right. Thank you, Manal. I have a question. Are you going to set some restriction on .Arabic? Are you going to introduce the IDN CCTLD completely independently from .eg space, meaning that the registrants are the same, something .eg and something your country name? The same ones or very independent?
It's not going to be the same registry, if this is your question. But definitely we are in full coordination, and we're working with them on giving some privilege to people who are already registered under the current ASCII to have their Arabic thing of their domain names.
Okay, thank you.
So, did I understand you that it will be a different registry? So, you will have two CCTLD managers. Okay, that's cool. All right, well, if there are no other questions, would you please join me in thanking Manal?
I apologize again for being late and for having to go even before we finish the session. Sorry for this.
Thanks, Manal.
Thank you.
And our final presentation on the fast track experience is from Youngham, and over to you.